Thanks for tuning into the ES First podcast. We'd love to connect with you on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. So take a minute to hop on over and give us a like or a follow. And of course, if you're ever in Excelsior Springs, stop on by. We can't wait to welcome you home.
Hi, everybody. I'm preaching today from the book of Mark, chapter number 4. If you want to kind of flip to it there, hold your finger in place, and we'll get to it in just a little bit. But Mark is opening our eyes to the dynamic invitation to be part and partakers of the kingdom of God. And what that means is he's asking us to really get serious about serving the Lord. Amen? So when we're talking about the kingdom of God, we're talking about getting serious with him. Partakers of the kingdom of God. My message today is entitled Fringe Benefits. Say fringe benefits. The fringe benefits are not the whole enchilada. The fringe benefits are not the whole enchilada. The fringe benefits are only the cheese. How many of the cheese on the enchilada is pretty nice? And so, in other words, I will love the Lord God with all my heart, with all my soul, and with all my mind. And not just for what I can get. I want the whole enchilada, not just the cheese, not just the fringe benefits. So I'm talking about fringe benefits today. Webster calls it an additional benefit. I'm a member of the AAA Roadside Assistance. Isn't that great? I am a card carrier. How many of you are AAA Roadside Assistance card carriers? And my wife has one. I have one. I have four toes, and she has four toes and eight fingers. I don't know. But anyhow, we got four toes apiece. We have eight. We can tow our own vehicle, or we can tow somebody else's vehicle. Doesn't make any difference. I got one left on mine for this year. She's got three. Great, great thing. I belong to the classic emergency services. And that's the enchilada, and then there's some fringe benefits that comes along with it. And the beautiful thing, the small print, it reads this, that they will tow you anywhere within a three-mile radius. Isn't that good? So if your car breaks down down at the corner, they'll drag you back to your parking lot. Isn't that great? And so then they say, well, I bet 3 miles ain't enough for you. And I say, you're right about that. So they say, well, for a few more bucks, you can sign up for the AAA Plus program. Same eight toes. And only the difference is now each one of those eight toes will go all the way up to 100 miles. Isn't that great? So I'm thinking, when I get 103 miles from town, I'm going, uh-oh, you know, here we go. Careful. But it has a lot of fringe benefits, just like the kingdom of God. And so then one day they say, hello, Larry, you're one of our finest customers. We have a special deal for you. It's called the Premier Level. You're such a good customer for 6 years. You need to get on the Premier Level. And so I think, well, why not? My wife is one of those camera fanatics. I call her a semi-pro photography enthusiast. And sometimes she'll get in her car and take off and go. I said, go have fun, you know, take pictures. And she comes back with all these wonderful pictures. Now she can go out 200 miles, you know, and not worry about getting a tow back. So guess which one I have? AAA Premier. It's good. But the emergency tow service is the basic, the real enchilada. But they say, take a look at all the fringe benefits. Well, I'm a sucker for fringe benefits. You buy this Premier package, and all these other things shall be added unto you. For example, we will tow your motorcycle and or your RV. That's cool, except I don't have a motorcycle and an RV, but it's a fringe benefit. If you ever get locked out of your car, we will come and open it. Well, that's a nice fringe benefit, isn't it? If I don't need it, I got buttons on the side of the car. I don't need keys unless I lose my mind, which is possible. And I get $10,000 worth of identity protection. And here's a good one. I can take any one of the cars that I have and I can tell them I want to know the history. And so they'll get a hold of Carfax and they'll give me all this history. And if I go to Italy, they'll give me maps of Italy or Germany or France. It doesn't make any difference. That's, of course, I'll probably go there. many times this year. You know what a fringe benefit is? Well, benefits are wonderful, but don't forget, it's really about the emergency services. And all the rest is just wonderful fringe benefits. And so it kind of got me thinking about what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, 33. He says, the enchilada and the cheese. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. That's the deal. And that's where you have to ask yourself the question in your serving of the Lord. Are you in it for the fringe benefits, or are you seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness to become more like him? That's the big deal. And then Matthew says, all these other things will be added unto you. And so the Bible has a list of fringe benefits that are nice. Some of those, Matthew chapter 6, he says, guess what? Take no thought for your life. I wonder if that means it's okay to die. Take no thought for your life. Has anybody ran into anything lately that made you wonder if you was going to live another 20 years or not? How about the mortality rate? Do you notice that sneaking up on you? Some of you kids under 30 years old don't even know what a mortality rate is, but I do. I want a deeper walk with the Lord. I want to walk with him. I want to go with him. He says, well, take no thought for your life. I'll take care of that. Paul the Apostle said, well, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. Hello. And to be absent from the body is praying for the Lord. So don't worry about it. It's okay. Just worry about what they're going to do with all your stuff when you're gone. Oh, my goodness. And Jesus said, here's the deal. He said, don't worry about what you'll eat, what you'll have to eat. Don't worry about going hungry. Don't worry about starving to death. Don't worry about having clothes, you know. God's not going to let you run around naked. Hello, that deal's over. You'll never be out of style. He says, I'll furnish you with clothes. Some of it might be old-fashioned, but it was stylish at one time or another. I mean, you got ties you've never worn for 30 years, but wouldn't dare get rid of them in case you want to buy a kite someday. Fringe benefits. He says, don't worry about it. All the fringe benefits will just fall into place, in other words. But what doesn't fall into place is your seeking wholly after God. What doesn't fall in place is your walk of holiness. Let a man examine himself and then let him partake of the body and blood of Christ. And so we have to understand that the fringe benefits are nice. The children of Israel had really nice fringe benefits. Their shoes didn't wear out for 40 years. We got that. You go up in my wife's closet, I promise you, she'd never have to buy another pair of shoes for the next 80 years because she's got enough shoes to last her that long. So do I. I've got a bunch of them in a stack. Well, the children of Israel had fringe benefits along with the real enchilada. They had food falling from the sky. Elijah enjoyed fringe benefits. During the drought, the Lord says, go east. Go to the brook Cherith, and just before you get to Jordan, you'll find the Cherith brook there. Make a camp there because you'll be able to drink all during the drought. And guess what? I'll send you a protein shake every morning with a raven and a picker-upper snack at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Fringe benefits. Jesus had fringe benefits. He could throw a party and serve wine and all the fish you could eat anytime. Without going to Walmart first, nice fringe benefit. King David understood this truth. He said this, bless the Lord, O my soul. He was happy about his fringe benefits. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And then he makes a list. Here's a nice one. He forgives all your sins. Ha, that's a big job. Heals all your diseases. I'll take that fringe benefit any day. Redeems your life from destruction. How many know the enemy seeks God like a roaring lion whom he can devour? The Lord is a fringe benefit, protects you from that. The evil one touches him not. He crowns your life with loving kindness and tender mercies. This is one of my favorites. He satisfies your mouth with good things. Fringe benefits. So that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Well, take a look. Fringe benefits are wonderful, but it's not the whole enchilada. That's just the cheese. Brandon's preaching on this last week, and he talked about people that are relying and living their spiritual life, trying to satisfy themselves with only the fringe benefits. relying on the fringe benefits to mature you, relying on the fringe benefits to make you more mature like Jesus. But fringe benefits really aren't enough, he says, because it puts you into three types of categories. Seed comes into your life and falls by the wayside, and the fowls of the air come and devour it up, and you don't have any more strength as a Christian. Some fell on stony ground where it had much earth. Immediately sprang up because of no depth of earth, Brandon says. The sun scorched it. What is that saying? It says you can come to church Sunday after Sunday, but if you don't really get into the kingdom of God, if you don't follow holy after the Lord, if you don't come out from the world and be separate, saith the Lord, and if you don't follow after holiness with which no man shall see, Lord, if you don't follow that path, hey, all this word that you're getting is just going to be sounding brass and tinkling cymbal hitting you in the head. Hello. It's going to fall off, and it's going to be scorched up, and the weeds are going to choke it up unless you get serious about following after the Lord with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. You don't have a chance of seed on a scorched ground. Interesting thing. There's more to being a blood-bought, spirit-led, satisfied child of God than just being in this for what you can get out of it. There's a lot of givers and there's a lot of takers. Joshua talked to his congregation just like this one day, and he said, let me point something out to you, church. And this is what he said. God has given you everything you've got. God has given you the land. He's given you cities that you didn't build. It was a fringe benefit. You dwell in them. You have vineyards. You have everything you need. You have clothes. You have shelter. You have food. You have friends. You have health. You have all these fringe benefits. And you didn't have to earn any of it. It was just yours because you called the name of Jesus into your life. Hello, fringe benefits. And then he says, church, you need to go to the next level. Now, you need to fear the Lord. You need to reverence God. You need to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. You need to serve him with sincerity and in truth. You say, are you picking on me, Pastor? I really don't know. But you brought it up. A little blockology. I think this is what Joshua meant. Fringe benefits are great. Fringe benefits tickle my fancy too. Fringe benefits pump me up with great appreciation and gratitude. But I am going to fear the Lord. I am going to serve the Lord with sincerity. I am going to wrap my life around his word and his truth. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Can you say amen to that? Amen. The good part is the fringe benefits, the cheese comes with it, but I want the whole enchilada. And if you are a person who is deep into typology, I want you to understand something. Joshua, who just said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua is a type of Jesus. And I believe that was what kept Jesus powered. It wasn't just the fringe benefits. While he was living under Mary's roof with his siblings, he was tempted just like we are, and yet he was without sin. He didn't just rely on the fringe benefits. He told his mama and his daddy, why didn't you know I must be about my father's business? It was serious to him. Now, the church and its people, that's you, see, I'm his people. Hit yourself on the head. Chuck's got me here. I have to walk every day. I have to go for a long walk. Mayo Clinic says you walk 20 minutes a day. I could do that in my kitchen. Chuck says, that ain't going to happen. He said, you're going to walk. You go for it. So I walk every other day. I walk a mile and a half, or an hour and a half to 2 hours, just a brisk walk. He says, on the days you don't walk, I want you to go kill yourself in the Anytime Fitness and work all those machines. Well, I was out at Watkins Mill, and I was just walking away, and all of a sudden I heard coming out of the bushes, hi, Pastor Block. I go, yes, Lord. I didn't know you were a tenor. I don't know. No. And met a lady out there. If I called her name, you'd probably know her. Many people do. She's a great lady. I love her. Great, great lady. And she had a couple of young ladies with her from one of our Assembly of God churches. And they were out out there. And I said, what are you doing out here? They said, we're praying. So, oh, yeah, you're praying. That's great. What are you praying about? So we're praying about the youth of our country. And I said, oh, that's right. The youth of our country, the youth of our city, youth of our town. They're the greatest kids on planet Earth, aren't they? And they looked at me like, what kind of kids you got in your church? I said, the best. And so anyhow, she's talking about, I said, how's your church doing? And she said, well, it's doing okay, but every once in a while we have somebody leaves. But all in all, it's pretty good. And I said, let me tell you something about that. It's a good thing. What are you talking about? So I began to tell her, I says, you know, Christians and churches have seasons, just like there's winter, spring, summer, and fall off, right? Christians have seasons. Churches have seasons. And we should never kick against those seasons because they're beautiful. And the seasons go like this. I says, seasons start in the church and start with individuals with evangelism. Everybody gets excited about a program. Wow, let's go slide on the big yellow slide. Woo! You know? That's Christmas program, all these programs, all this great music, smoke, camera, action. Wow, evangelism. I like it here. And then we go into the next season, and that's the season of food, fellowship, and fun. Potlucks. Go to dinner with a pastor. Oh, wow, look at that. Free coffee in the coffee shop. Some people just come to church on Sunday morning for the free coffee and donuts. If you move real quick, you can get a free donut, but technically they're 75 cents a piece. And then there's another season in new Christians' life, and there's another season in the church. I'm telling these ladies this out, and they're going, whoo, I wish I'd have brought a pencil. This is rich. This is good. I said, then people go into another season, which is a season of learning the Word of God and finding out what the Bible has to say about life and about the kingdom of heaven and all these things. And we get down into the nitty-gritty, and people start digging in. The Bible teaches us things like, well, don't forsake yourself, the assembly together. It says don't receive an accusation against an elder. It says things like, bring all the tithes into the storehouse. And I says that at this point, people start maybe picking and choosing a little bit. Well, I thought the kingdom of God was potluck dinners and fellowships and all of that stuff. That's really delicious. I like that. But now you're starting to tell me some things that God says that I have to do to get into the kingdom of heaven, not just the cheese. That's right. And I said, then they go into another season, which is discipleship. I call this the sifting season, because this is when people figured out, well, it's not just about the programs. Well, it's not just about the potluck dinners and the strawberry donuts that cost 75 cents. Some say it's a dollar. Now you tell me I've got to sincerely divide the Word of God so that I might be found pleasing in the sight of God. Wait a minute, this is getting a little bit tough for me. And then the sifting takes place, and they decide that, well, I'm either going to have to get committed to God, I'm going to have to pick up my cross, I'm going to have to sacrifice something, I'm going to have to serve, I'm going to have to go. I'm going to have to do. That's the fourth season. And then I told him, and I said, and then here's what happens. There are three type of people when they come to the sifting zone. First of all, there's the quitters. They said, I'm done with this. I thought it was potlucks and fringe benefits. I thought that's what it was. But now you tell me I have to measure up to the Word of God. I have to give up some things. I have to work a little bit. I have to submit to leadership. That's when, if it, some churches, people quit the church. They leave. They go to another church where it's seemingly a little bit easier. But the strange thing about it is they don't put the truth on it. They don't say, well, I didn't really want to be committed to that. And then some people in the congregation say, well, what's wrong with the pastor? What's wrong with the church? People are quitting. But you have to, well, forget about the church. I was talking to them, and I said, so let me tell you something. When it comes to a sifting time, there's wheat and there's chaff. And I said, you have to understand, when the gentle breezes of the Lord comes and he moves somebody out, don't get mad at the chaff because they got moved out. They just got to be blown into another congregation so they can grow up over there, because they're not able to handle, they don't want to get into the discipleship plan. And then you have people that you've tried to win to Christ, and they just give up and they just quit. Why? Because the preachers talk too much about money. Why? Because I don't like the way they do things. And so, you know, but that's not the real reason. The real reason is that it's come down to the wire. Am I going to serve God? Am I going to seek the kingdom of God? Am I going to serve him with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my strength? Am I going to get into the kingdom of God? Hello. Or am I just in this for the fringe benefits? And so I told him, don't ever get mad at the shaft because they're just going to blow somewhere else. And then the nice part is they may well take root in that place and grow and become great, great people for God. So don't worry about that. Really? I wish I'd brought my pen. I took notes. So there's the quitters. And then there's a second type of people, and those are the winners. And they said, whatever it is, Lord, whatever it takes to draw closer to you, Lord, that's what I'm willing to do. Take my houses and land. Take all, you know, I surrender all. I'm in it for the whole enchilada. And the Lord says, you get the enchilada, you get my presence, you get my anointing, you get close with me, you get all this stuff, and you get all the fringe benefits too. We'll tow your motorcycle if you've got one. Hello. Get in to the kingdom of God. It's a beautiful thing. And then there's a third category of people, and you don't all know what those are, so I don't have to tell you, right? It's the baby Christians who are always sucking milk. They start all over again every season. Clouds they are without rain, but they're little baby Christians. And Paul said, I just kind of wish you'd grow up or get into the cycle here, become a true follower of the kingdom. But they're baby Christians. All they can have is milk. They can't. This is not the milk sermon. This is meat. This is steak and potatoes. All right? This is the real McCoy. And I hope somewhere in this preaching of Mark, you'll understand what Mark is trying to get across, is that I want you to be more than just a fringe benefit seeker. I want you to seek the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, with all your strength. I want you to understand what the kingdom of God is. It's not just about the cheese. Hello. It goes a whole lot deeper. You can walk a whole lot closer with the Lord. You can have Holy Ghost as your best friend. Amen? So that's the way it works. So Romans chapter 14 and verse number 17 is the scripture that God gave me about this. Romans 14, 17, and I put it up here in the Amplified Bible. And it says, after all, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking one likes, but instead it is righteousness. That state which makes a person acceptable to God. Righteousness is that state which makes a person acceptable to God. Examine yourself. Are you a fringe benefit dude, or are you sincere about serving the Lord? The kingdom of God. We're talking about what is the kingdom of God. How is it going to work? It's getting into God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. I'll serve him with all my might, with all that I have. Everything belongs to him. You know, some people are just so busy struggling over the stinking rotten 10%. Dear God, grow up a little bit. Don't you know? You don't have to worry about that if you understand that it all belongs to God. If you aren't a tither, you're a weenie in the kingdom. You're a cheapskate. Are you seeking after righteousness? Do you give a rip about remembering the Sabbath day and keeping it holy? Do you give a rip about the fact that the first 10% of your income is as holy as the baby Jesus when he was in the manger? It's holy. Do you steal it or do you handle it with care? That's the difference in being a fringe benefit Christian and one who is truly walking in the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. And those who walk not in the kingdom of God are really not very pleasing to the Father. But they belong to the fold. You're not going to go to hell over this issue. But when I'm riding a white stallion in the millennial reign and you're riding a pig, don't blame me. We're talking about righteousness, serving God with all your heart. That state which makes a person acceptable to God, and the kingdom of God is also a heart peace. Bible says in the last days, men are going to be crying, peace, peace, peace and safety. Are you hearing any of that? Peace and safety, peace, peace, unwonderful peace. But did you know there's a difference? When you are part of the kingdom of God, there's a peace that passeth all understanding. It keeps your heart and it keeps your mind. And when you're in the midst of the storm, woo-wee, it's a nice ride. Hello, it's like going on a roller coaster of life. I'm on this storm and I'm enjoying every minute of it. I got peace in the midst of the storm. It's worth it. Because if you haven't had any storms in life yet, guess what? You're going to have a few. And if you don't have any storms in life, don't worry. God will give you 17 grandkids, and that's a storm. Which brings me to my text for today. Are you ready for me to preach? Say amen. All right, we're going to have my text for the day, and it is in Mark's Gospel, chapter 24. My text today is how easy it is to live above the fringe benefit line. How easy it is to live in the full flow love stream of Jesus, living in the kingdom of God. And if you really want to get technical about it, Jesus really is the kingdom of God. When he showed up at his baptism, when he showed up on the scene, he said, the kingdom of God is at hand. So living the kingdom of life is really living in his fullness, being like him, talking like him, acting like him, being like him. Being concerned like he's concerned. And my text for today tells us this. Walking in the kingdom of God is not difficult. Don't ever believe that it's difficult to serve God. Because the easiest thing there is, and this word right here will prove it. The easiest thing on planet Earth is to walk hand in hand with God, be led by the Spirit, let him open up the windows of heaven upon you. It's not a difficult thing, and the devil can't even mess with you anymore because the Lord puts a hedge around you, hello, and he don't have a chance anymore. If you don't believe that, look at what happened to the demons every time they come in contact with Jesus of Nazareth. They said, whoa, leave me alone. And that's what the enemy does if you're in the kingdom. But if you're just a fringe benefit, dude, watch out because you've got some doors you've left open. So be careful there. It's the easiest thing in the world. Not only do you get righteousness, that state which makes a person acceptable to God and heart peace and joy in the Holy Ghost, which is the main event, the enchilada, but it includes, as David says, all the fringe benefits of the premier package. Now, my text. Watch this. So, Jesus says, so is the kingdom of God. That's the mature walk. That's the committed walk, right? You know where the kingdom of God is? As the verses, okay. So is the kingdom of God. It's as if a man should cast the seed into the ground and then go to sleep. You ever plant grass? What do you do? What do you do to make it grow after that? Nothing. Now, what's the kingdom of God like? Now get this. You just get started in it. You desire him with all your heart. You call upon him. You lean upon him. You rest in him. You seek his advice. You follow his direction. That's just a little seed that you plant. And then you just kick back and relax. You should sleep and rise night and day. That's what I do when I plant grass. I keep looking, where's it at? When's it coming up? Would you come up? Go back to sleep. Where's it at? Oh, there it is. Is that all I get? And then all of a sudden, you get this beautiful thing. That's the way the righteousness of God swells up within you. It's not of works of righteousness, lest any can should boast. It's a gift of God. You become like him. It's automatic. You don't earn it. You don't deserve it. You just put the seed. You just say, God, I surrender all. I give you me. And then you see that seed, that kingdom life begins to rise up. Begins to grow up, and you don't even know how. And all of a sudden, you're a faithful member. All of a sudden, you're a true blue 30, 40, 50% giver. All of a sudden, you can't do enough to tell about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? Because the kingdom of God is automatically growing in you and making you to be more like Jesus every single day because it's your desire to be like him. Ha! How did that happen? I can't tell you how it happened I got to be such a great preacher. I know I got to step up my game. I don't know how it happens that I can love my enemies. I don't know how all of a sudden I can look at someone who's in need and I have to fulfill it. I don't know how I can wake up in the middle of the night and God can speak words to feed the congregation. I don't know how it happened. I just said, here I am, Lord, send me. And I went on about my busy life. And it happened. I don't know how my kids can see Jesus in this old sinful wretch that they don't know about. I think. I don't know. I don't know how I can wake up in the middle of the night, wake up every morning with a song in my heart. I don't know how all of a sudden I can see the good in everything that happens. I don't know how all of a sudden there's no critical spirit in me that would like to confuse and criticize people and point fingers. I don't know how all of a sudden I obey automatically that says that don't be pointing your fingers at people, because if you do, the Lord said, you won't find me because I'm not into the finger point. I don't know how all of a sudden there's no critical spirit. I don't know how all of a sudden nothing can offend me. I don't know how. But the Bible says the kingdom of God is just as easy as falling off a log. How many of you know that's easy? You just got to want it. You just got to be willing. And there's something about happens to you when you want to, hooks up with the Spirit of God, is that you don't try to find your answers from philosophical input. You find your answers at an old-fashioned altar, and you find your answers from the Word of God. And when people says, oh, I wouldn't do it that way, said, well, God says I'd do it that way. Somebody said, I don't know why you're feeling that way. I don't know why you act that way. I don't know how you got that way. If it was me, I wouldn't be that way. You say, yes, but I wouldn't be anything else but this. I'm not a fringe benefit seeker. I want the whole enchilada, Jesus. I like that scripture, and it goes on, and it says, for the earth brings forth fruit in itself. The kingdom brings forth fruit in itself. First the blade, then the ear. After that, the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, there's so much harvest in you. There's so much good. There's so much joy that people can draw from you. There's so much love that you can shed abroad upon all those around about you. There's just so much that gushes out of you, the love of Jesus Christ. Immediately you put in the sickle because the harvest has come. And you are somebody, and you do something that produces great insight for the kingdom of God. Ain't nothing like it. Nothing like it. Then I like the last scripture that goes with it. Well, the last scripture that goes with it, verse 30. How shall we liken the kingdom of God? That's what we're talking about. Or with what comparison shall we compare it? Well, it's like, here we go again. It's like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown into the earth, it's less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, when you make up your mind, when you agree with the commitment, when you come under the leadership of the Holy Spirit and His Word and His shepherds and His kingdom, even though it's just a little bitty deal, when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all the herbs and shooteth out great branches so that everything around you, the fowls of the air, may lodge under the shadow of it. Whatsoever your hands findeth to do will prosper. You will be blessed in your coming in and your going out and your rising up and your setting down. Your enemies that come against you one way will flee before you seven. And all that your hand findeth to do, he will prosper. That's what I want, the whole enchilada. In 1891, Albert Simpson, remember him? I bet you know one of his songs. He said this: launch out into the deep. Let the shoreline go. Launch out in the ocean divine, out where the full tides flow. Ezekiel 47 said this: I don't just want waters to wade in. I don't just want waters up to my knees. I don't just want waters up to my waist. I want waters to swim in. Are you hungry for God today? He says, if happily you seek after me, I will be found of you. Ain't that good? Let's bow our heads. Father, today, I'm not even going to ask for a show of hands. I'm just going to say, Father, enrich us with desire. Enrich us with longing. Enrich us, Lord. Keep us awake. Keep us on fire for you, Lord. We love you, and we seek after you with all our heart today. Father, change people in this room. Change me. Change all of us, Lord. Let us wholly follow after the Lord like never before. In Jesus' name, amen.